You have your Bible open to James 2. I'm going to ask in a minute here. Don't just stay still. But I'm going to ask in a minute for you to move around a little bit. And here's what I would like you to do. If you're wearing a pair of shoes that cost $125 or more, I'm going to invite you to come down and sit in the front couple of rows. Hold still, not quite. And if you have a car that is less than 5 years old, any of your cars, if it's any of them are less than 5 years old, I'm going to ask you to sit in the middle behind the shoe people. And then, well, the exception is this. No matter which group you're in, if you have red hair, I'm going to ask you to sit in the back because I know you're going to lose your temper before long and you're going to want to come get me. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to move. I'm just kidding. That tendency that we have to separate people based on perception, how expensive their shoes look or how new their car is or what color hair they have or how they're dressed, their jewelry, whatever that might be. That tendency to do that is called prosopopletia. Prosopopletia. Sounds like a disease, doesn't it? I don't know how to tell you this, but he's got prosopopletia. There's a Letzia joke there somewhere, but I didn't work it out. That's actually the real word. That's what it's called in the first verse of James 2. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with prosolepsia, partiality. New King James, a little later, uses for the same word, uses the phrase respect of persons. If you're a Bible student, God is no respecter of persons. That's what we're talking about here. Now, the New King James uses this word partiality. The NIV, for the same word, translates it favoritism. You can call it prejudice. You can call it discrimination. The literal definition of prosopopletia is a high regard for people based on outward appearance. Who's got the good shoes? Who's got the gold rings? Who's got the gold necklace? Who's wearing the tiara? I've seen hats here, but never a tiara. I don't know. That's probably okay. As you grow in your relationship with the Lord, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we stop seeing others that way. Prosopopletia becomes a thing of the past. See, faith that works, and that's what we've been talking about and we'll continue to talk about, faith that works is not only extended vertically towards God, but it's also expressed horizontally towards others so that you don't rush to judgment based on appearance or reputation, so that you don't see others as resources to be consumed for your benefit. Now, as faith starts to work horizontally, several things start to happen. Let's read this passage and we'll dig into it. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, fine apparel, there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Don't the rich oppress you and drag you into courts? Don't they blaspheme that noble name by which you're called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. For he who said, don't commit adultery, also said, don't murder. Now, if you don't commit adultery, but you do murder, you've become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. All right. The first thing that happens when faith works horizontally is that you stop playing favorites. That's what we see in the first four verses. Now, where verse 1 says, my brethren, do not, he means stop that. See, they were already doing that. He's not telling them, be careful that you don't fall into this. He's saying, this is already the way you treat one another. I want you to stop that. Stop playing favorites, because we do. Honestly, and we all know we do. We make instant decisions about who's okay and who's not okay based on either their reputation or their appearance, that first impression. Now, he goes on to tell us, he doesn't just tell us stop that, he tells us why. The reason we're not to do that is because we're not qualified to judge. See, our opinion, first of all, is only based on what we see, what we're able to perceive. We see somebody coming and we just, without even thinking about it, we just kind of size them up. You know, and we don't necessarily have a checklist, check the shoes, check the clothes, check the hair, any good jewelry, how's that ring, necklace, and we don't do that consciously, but in a sort of subconscious and overall sense, we just take a look at somebody and we form a first impression. You know, it's funny, I was thinking about this passage and I happened to be looking in the mirror this morning. Man, that's disappointing. And I realized that I don't look at all on the outside the way I feel on the inside. I am not an old fat guy who's losing his hair. I am not. I'm a young hip guy that has it going on, and people take one look at me and they kind of go, whoa, man, that he's cool. That's on the inside. On the outside, they take one look and go, oh, Lord, that's the pastor? And that's just true. But we do that to one another. We take one look and we make this opinion about each other. In verse 2, for if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, right? Somebody who looks rich and looks good, looks prosperous. And there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. Now, this word filthy is the same word that we looked at last week back in verse 21, where it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness. The word can also be translated vile or vileness. It's not just dirty clothes. It's not just that fella needs to find a laundromat and then he'll be okay. It has to do with this assumption that we make about the character, the nature of the whole person. See, our opinion is based on what we see. And we have a tendency to see somebody comes in who looks nice, looks, you know, whatever our culture's trained us to think is a good appearance. Now, for women, that means they're way underweight, right? Because that's the culture. I mean, if you look like Paris Hilton, go have a sandwich, will you? You know, you're not well. But don't take it too far or you end up looking like me. But that's what we do. Our opinion is based on what we see. Now, he goes on to tell us here that our opinion is based on wrong motives. And it is. Verse 3, and you pay attention. Well, he continues, if you look at the rich, if you look at the poor. Verse 4, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? You've become judges. And evil thoughts has to do with your motives. You've become judges, but you're not qualified to judge, and your motives for judging are all wrong. Now, some of you folks, and some of you that are kind of Calvary Chapel veterans and maybe a few others, are familiar with Gale Irwin. And by the way, Gale is a guy. And we'll get him up here one of these days. A lovely, lovely man, servant of the Lord, master, teacher of the word. I mean, the first time I ever met Gale, I should have got a picture of him so you can see him. I went to a men's retreat. I was a brand new Christian, brand new at the church that I had started attending, and they had a men's retreat. And of course, the minute the guy said, you know, we're going to do something, I said, I'll go. And then I asked him, what exactly is that? But I'll go. I'm going. If there's something going on, it has to do with the word, the Lord, fellowship, count me in. So I get to this thing, and it's on a Friday night, and the first thing they do on Friday night as all the guys arrive is serve dinner. So I'm standing in the chow line for dinner, and I'm new to the church, and I'm new to the Lord, and there's probably 200, 300, 400 guys there, and I don't know but a couple of them, and I barely know them, because I'm really a stranger in this deal. But up a couple of guys ahead of me in line, there's, you know, talk, 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 murmur, 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 and I heard the word recording studio, and I went. And so I said, recording studio, did you say? And the guy said, yeah. I said, you know, I've worked in just about every recording studio and there is around town in Portland. And he said, really? Have you ever been to, you know, so-and-so? And I said, yeah, I've been there. I haven't done much there, but I've done. He goes, well, that's my studio. I own that. And I went, you know,